Hello, Bit Radio fans far and wide. This is not Mike from Bit Towers. This is Mike Falick of OurHeroComic.com. We want to thank everyone for being so patient about us getting in the new season of Bit. I'm here to tell you formally that in the middle of August, the new season will be out. But because everyone has been so patient, we have an awesome amount of things going on here at Bit Radio before the next season. This episode, so Bill and I started doing radio sketches together on a different podcast, and those were called Bill Radio Sketches on this other podcast. So as in that tradition, I'm going to play for you some audio from a video series we're going to do this summer called Mic Test, which will be different stream of consciousness recordings, including open mic things that I do, and then we're going to put them to puppets. So that's the first thing you're going to hear here. Then, after that, you're going to hear my interview with Jeremy Moeller from Outland Entertainment. They're doing a reboot of a series from the 80s and 90s and 70s called Elf Lord, and we had a lot of fun talking together. Then, after that, you're going to hear a preview of a sketch from the new season of Bit Radio. Thanks, everyone, for hanging on, and I'm not even going to wait to get you to the content. Here's the first mic test.
More give comment. Up your mic, brother!
Okay. Awesome. Great. What was that noise? Will my Jim Croce impersonation ever be needed? No. But I have one. Okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Is everyone say, I love everyone. If any shitwalker walking off the street were to heckle me, I'd destroy them. I'd eat their fucking liver. But I love all of you. So here's what we're going to do. I'm gonna set up the most generic. I broke this mic again. I'm going to set up the most generic bits, but I want all of you to fucking destroy me. Just everyone start booing. Do not let me get to the joke, and then I'll set up another premise, okay? Are we all into it? We all know the rules? Okay. So, hey guys, I was at the grocery store the other day, and I don't... What's wrong? You guys don't like groceries?
No.
Oh, which, don't do that joke. I maybe you didn't hear me. So I was at the grocery store the other day. Okay, that's fine. All right, I'll move on. That's okay. I just want you guys to fucking like me. I don't know. Okay, so I'm taking my dog for a walk. And it's got some... What? You guys do not like... So I have a dog. Whoa, okay. I think all these things are sort of universal. Everybody likes them. I called my mom on the phone the other day. Yeah, no, but yes, that's the fun of it. Okay. okay, that's fine. And I guess not everybody has a mom. I need to change my act. I have to listen to you. Okay, so here we go. Listen, so garbage man, that's a really hard job. And I need to talk. The garbage man, they came across the other day and then... guys, how much more time do I have?
A little bit, I mean...
Yeah, a lot. This bit's gotta go a lot. I really don't want to go into anything else unless... If people... What else is in the news? Listen, I'm gonna do one more. Everyone has to shit on me like so hard. It's not a trap, okay?
Okay. We're ready. Therapist.
So I tried repainting my bathroom. So that was at Fifth Estate Bar in New York City. It's a wonderful open mic run by Corey Spencer. You can find her on Twitter at C-O-R-R, at C-O-R-E-E-S-P-E-N-C-E-R, pretty sure we'll fix if that's not the case. Okay, coming up next is my interview with Jeremy Moeller. Jeremy Moeller is a game designer, I don't know, that's the wrong word, right? Because he designs art for games and is himself creating a board game right now called Shotguns and Sorcery. And you can check out his work at Outland Entertainment, and he'll be working on the new thing of Elfhorn. So just listen to our interview. It's a lot of fun. Thanks. Bye. I'm going to sound a little distracted at first because I'm doing some mic tests to make sure that we're picking you up. You're going to hear some annoying noises right now, coming like the volume buttons I have to mess with. Hold on. Seems to be best. Okay. sorry, Jeremy. That was really strange. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That has to sound like the weird... That volume button is... So, why does no one talk about how that's the strangest noise that we all accept nowadays? Just it's so weird.
It's pretty funny, yeah. Everywhere now.
Yeah, everywhere. Everywhere. I remember when Mac first started doing this stuff, these weird water sounds, it was like, oh, that's so cool. What's even weirder about it being cool is that, yeah, you're right, like, everywhere we go, it's these ridiculous noises.
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
So, speaking of nothing at all, where did we go? Jeremy, your work is fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about Outland and Elflord.
Okay. Where do you want to begin?
Well, first of all, I mentioned this to Tony as well. Like, the series is awesome, and getting to know about you guys through this Kickstarter and through Bit Radio is has been amazing because, with the story of Barry as an artist, I suffer from hypochondria. That's where this... This series that I made about the future that I want to feature you guys on came from, because I was so afraid of the future that I was like, well, let me make something where the future isn't great, but it's fine. And so a story like Barry's is like, it's always something that I take note of, because he was so, he really did make the most of his time, here on Earth. Did you work at all with Barry?
Oh, no, I did not. No. That was predominantly Matt. Although I have to say the much of the material that Barry developed and wrote and worked on is right up my alley. It's the type of stuff that had I known about, I would have been reading it. So
yeah, I mean I've been with all of you guys. I've been trying to, once the whole library is out, that's going to be a whole other part of my life to sink into. But
yeah,
in this last
we're working on it.
and speaking of keeping up with time, in this last week, you three guys alone, it's been like, I'm like, I need to do other things other than try and read these three guys. Like, here's everything. What can I try and do? It's been awesome, because now I can never be bored. I can never claim to be bored in the next, until I finish all of it, right? I have no excuse.
Yeah, well, we'll be rolling it out slowly. I mean, it's not going to all come out at once. So it'll be spread out. You'll be able to...
No, give me a challenge. Put it all out tomorrow. See if I... So you're like me. You've just gotten turned on to Elflord and all this Barry Blair stuff recently.
Yep.
This is also a very simple art question that I don't know whether there will be a good answer in it. Sure. Elflord was in black and white, right?
Yeah.
So are you guys are now, all the art I've seen has been in color. Is that still cover art, or what's the plan there?
No, all of our books will be in color. Fact of the matter is, in the, 70s and 80s, black and white work could sell. The market these days, the black and white work just doesn't sell, no matter how good it is.
Because the reason I ask is and this is something I didn't get into with the other guys, is, mm-hmm. We're in the age, and... this is not, I'm going to preface the crap out of this. This is not disrespectful. This is because I legitimately think you guys are doing cool stuff. The thing of black and white comics not selling anymore, the fact that Barry's career was cut short in some way his life was certainly cut short, but he was very prolific. We're in the age of reboots right now. So I think everything I've seen coming out of it, you guys are doing it right, but... How do you feel on working on something that's a reboot in an era where not only are reboots successful, but there's this, especially in our line of interests of fantasy and sci-fi and things like that, there's a lot of scoffery towards...
Reboots, yeah. And I'm guilty of it, too. I sometimes tire of the reboots. Actually, and I'm not saying that we won't be doing reboots. The thing with Elflord is that it's not really a reboot.
Right.
There's some new designs, but it actually literally picks up 20 years after the last book ended. So we're talking about indie books, too. We're not talking about, you know, DC, you know, or Marvel, you know, big two.
Right, you're not doing a ninth King Kong.
Right. I mean, these are indie books that didn't have a super massive audience in the first place. So, I mean...
Right, that's what I'm saying, is that every tick mark that you could check with Elflord to, in my opinion, where it's like, you know, there's all those BS reasons that people do, you know, just reboots where it's transparently that they can milk something out of it. But, like,
right.
All the tick marks that make this a legitimate reason to reboot, you know, the idea it wasn't as popular as it should have been. It's the era that it was made in isn't the same, like you said, the same tastes anymore. People want color. You know, the artist left an open-ended part on it. There was someone who had a connection to the... Like, it has everything there. But does it... Are you now rethinking when someone says, like, you know, why are they, you know, like, I just saw Jurassic World, and that's been, my life is very shaken the last weeks, but, but, you know, I'm definitely guilty of prejudices, but I always go see this stuff. Are you now a little bit more quiet when people go, oh, another reboot? Are you kind of just like,
not at all. You know, I'm a huge fan of The Rock, and I love Big Trouble in Little China, but I think it's the most ridiculous thing ever to have him involved in a reboot of Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to scoff at that.
And it's, you know, I like to think that it's a little bit of a nerd politics, if you will, that scoff now, and the worst that happens is you're right. You know, there's always a way to rephrase it afterwards to be like, well, it was quite surprising how good it was, you know?
Gosh, like, I wish I could say that about the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, you know what? It was the only reason I thought it didn't succeed is I wanted them to lean harder into the ridiculousness of it. You know what I mean? I thought they were restrained. I think they were worried about it not being, like, they thought they could maybe make it a legitimate dark film. I just wanted pizza and kickflips and turtles killing stuff. Like, I think they didn't lean in enough.
Oh, man. I don't know. When I started hearing Transformer noises when Shredder came on stage, it was too much for me. I'm like...
I did like it. But that was simply because I think that it's a dose of ridiculousness that the world needs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As
TMNT always was. It should always appear as it's unfortunate that probably the people who are saying, well, that was ridiculous, are the hardcore fans of it. But a good Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle should always be like, well, someone should be saying, what the hell was that?
Yeah. You're right.
And it's the closest thing I'm going to get to a live action Dragon Ball Z. So I was happy about that. That's to be honest, I sort of did do a little bit of internal meditation to just pretend, and that one's Goku, and that one's, we got it. What are you reading now, and what has made you go down this path of demons and such?
I don't know. I tend to read a lot of indie stuff, a lot of Image, probably some Dark Horse and IDW stuff. So, you know, I think some of my favorite books right now, Low has been really good. You put me on the spot here, and I like...
Let's go back in time then. What was the thing that made you get... I always hate this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Because inevitably, here's what I always do whenever someone asks me, like, what made you want to do this thing or this thing? And then I'll list a movie, and then I'll call them back 2 hours later in just casual conversation and be like, no, you know what, actually, I think I like Doctor Strangelove better, because, and like, they're like, I don't really care that much, you know. but what was the first let's just say a big one, what was a big fantasy thing that you read as a young boy, or something that sort of set you down this path, or maybe something in true nature of this that maybe people haven't read from your childhood or when you started being an artist?
Well, I think what put me on the course to comics and working as in games as an illustrator for comics and games and was probably X-Force number one, you know, the Rob Liefeld X-Force number one.
Yeah, I know that.
I remember that being the first comic I actually literally had in my hands and owned. And from there, it just kind of ballooned out. Now, before that, you know, it came up with, you know, I don't know, like a lot of fantasy novels, Lord of the Rings, the Shannara series, you know, from Terry Brooks. What else did I read? You know, I've read a ton of stuff.
X-Force is awesome. And I was, to an open mic, that they do at a comic book shop at Carmine Comics in New York City. And, someone bought, who didn't know comic books, was just a comedian, bought an X-Force. And I was like, oh no, like they just bought it because you have to buy a comic book if you attend the show.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, no, you gotta, even if you don't like the story, you just gotta, no one uses this design stuff anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, X-Force is a great example of something that could, because if you're talking about the era of Valiant and Air Cell and all these other indie, you know, action comics, you know, X-Force was this weird era of these designs that meant nothing, you know, like these characters that had powers that needed no equipment. They could have been in a t-shirt and do it. And for some reason, their suits had battery packs on them and all this. Cyclops is a great example from X-Force. All the shit Cyclops wears in that, he only needs the glasses. It makes no sense. You know what I mean?
Yes, a lot of the over-the-top stuff from the 90s.
And
yeah.
It's great. It's like and that's a great example of it. That's totally a good first comic that makes you fit into this whole project here. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy Metal, was that a magazine for you? That was one you had your hands on?
That was a lot of the European stuff that I could get my hands on, you know, once I got older and was able to, you know, once the internet came up, I was able to get my hands on more European stuff.
So let's say where people can go. They can go to outlandentertainment.com, I think is the website, or just search Outland Entertainment, right?
Yep.
Kickstarter, search Elflord or Outland. I found both get you what you want.
Excellent, yep.
And your website, I was here a second ago, I just closed it, it just closed. Do the plug for me.
JeremyMoeller.com.
That's easy enough. And Moeller is MOHLER.
Correct. Yes.
Awesome. And this thing's going to be great. There's 28 more days. There's about a half a month left in the campaign by the time this comes out.
I think we're down to like 17 days. And we're going to be rolling out some decent announcements here over the course of this week. I think we've got another variant cover that Matt and I are working on. I think that I'm going to roll out and we're going to offer a digital copy of Age of Steel to the backers as well. I've still got to work that out yet, but that may be coming up as well.
That's awesome, because that would be very convenient for me if you could just make a compendium of all your works together. Call up whoever you have distribution contracts with and tell them, this one guy just wants all of our work together, so we're going to staple all your stuff together and sell it to him. Is that okay? And they'll say no, but just do it anyway.
We've got quite a bundle of stuff that we're working on.
That's awesome. You guys aren't making it easy for me to have a life outside of reading comic books. So thank you very much. Yeah. No. You have a wife and kids, right?
Yeah,
I won't. Because you guys already have a body of work, and so I've got to read that, and then you're insensitive. You just keep making stuff that's good, and it's quite frankly mean. That's all I'm saying.
Jeremy, we're here to disrupt your life, Mike.
Thank you. It's good. Okay, last up. So if you remember, last season, Mike left an award show having a breakdown. In this season, we'll find out that he has ran into the woods. And here is a little vignette of something going on in the woods while he's there. Guys, we're going to have more little special episodes like this upcoming until the release of the new season of Bit Radio. Everyone's been so patient. This is the time to start listening. This is the time to start telling people about it. Please rate and review on iTunes. Thank you guys so much for listening. And remember to go to OurHeroComic.com to get your tickets to the Festival of Colors 2015. It's a film and art festival at Art Cafe Bar, 886 Pacific Street, Brooklyn, New York, off the Clinton Washington Ave stop on the C train. There will be a live performance of one of my podcasts there, and there will be a lot of awesome films going on there and a lot of the people who help contribute to Bit Radio. So please check out OurHeroComic.com to get your tickets to the Festival of Colors 2015. Excuse me, my name is Jane. Can you say Jane? Me, Jane.
You, Jane?
Yes, yes, very good. My name is Jane. Me, Jane. And you, Tarzan.
Me, Tarzan?
Yes, very good. I, Jane, you, Tarzan.
Jane, gorilla?
No, Jane, no gorilla. Jane won't take picture, gorilla. Jane, afraid of gorilla. Jane, get long lens, take picture, gorilla. Jane, take picture, gorilla, very far away. Jane, sort of lose sense of danger about gorilla. Because no sense of danger from Jane.
Jane, consider herself naturist, conservationist.
Yes, yes, a conservationist. Very good, Tarzan, very good.
Jane, kind of pompous. Tell all friends, go Africa. Not shut fuck up about Africa trip before and after.
Yes, I never shut the fuck up. Very good, Tarzan. I, Jane, no shut the fuck up. Oh, Tarzan, I'm in love. You're wonderful. I'm in love with you.
Duh, this is weird. Tarzan, no love. Jane.
Oh.
Jane, kind of not Tarzan crowd.
Oh, that's fine.
Sorry, Tarzan think honesty, best policy.
Oh, no, it's fine.
I know, it seems like it's weird.
No, Tarzan, it's totally fine. It's completely fine. Can't you see I'm fine? Jane, fine. Tarzan won't be friends, Jane? Tarzan.
No, Tarzan just sort of think. Not really. It's very awkward now. Tarzan think not possible be friends. Cause Jane have emotion, Tarzan. Tarzan no think Jane forget these feelings. Maybe always harbor feelings, Tarzan.
I swear I won't. I don't
know. Yeah, everybody. Tarzan know everyone say that. Tarzan know first rodeo. Tarzan know everybody think these things.
Oh, that's fine. It's fine.
Is it?
It doesn't seem to be. Do you want to do something?
Well, actually,
No, it's fine.
Oh no, it's just that Tarzan have planned smash jaguar face. Like,
it's totally fine.
No, I'm just saying. Any other day, Tarzan be like, yes, let's do, but like,
it's, I understand, I get it. People make
about 4 weeks. Tarzan plans smash this jaguar face.
Okay, that's fine.
Jane, need help get down from tree?
No. I'll get down. It's fine.
Tarzan highly doubt.
No, it's Tarzan. Don't worry about me.
Like Tarzan, don't worry about Jane at all. Trust me.
Oh, well, it's,
if expecting fishing for me be like, oh, I just want to be nice. Tarzan just asking. Need help down from tree?
No, it's fine. I'll get down.
Okay, because Tarzan asking last time. No one else help you get down from tree. Tarzan a little confused as well about bestiality and what that word mean. You first woman meet. Tarzan not really grasping what sex is for him anymore. Not really think binary. Even spectrum kind of crazy for Tarzan. Tarzan kind of like, whoa, gorilla's not for sex, it's moral. Tarzan, no.
Oh, well, maybe it wouldn't have worked out.
Yeah, probably not, Tommy.
And we've got, and I'm not doing it alone by any means. We brought in, my brain's farting here.
It's all right. I'll forget something too. Hold on. There was that episode of Animaniacs, and there, we'll do it together. We'll together. It's all right. It was like they're not. It's not. They're not making fun of The Godfather, but it's one of those movies. You know what I mean? Okay.
that's really funny.
Gameplay stuff too is amazing to me in terms of you know, it's definitely not pure storytelling in that sense, but there's the way you change rules and things like that to make the experience difference is something I'm, you know, I have a project in the work about sports, and it's very heady, you know, and my experience with sports has been a tough one, because when I talk to my nerd friends about it, you know, I come off as jockey, but then when I talk to my jock friends about it, I want to talk about like strategy and like rule making and like game theory. And so I'm stuck in the middle of pretty much only talking to myself.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like about conventions. I get to go to conventions and talk comics and games and people actually know what I'm talking about. I do it around here at home, and it's like they look at you cross-eyed. They're like, what are you talking about?
Right. You know, that's something that I bring up all the time. It's like this word nerd gets thrown around, and it's a bit I talk about all the time, and it's like, you're not a nerd if you're going to a $50 million movie that everybody likes, okay? If you're a nerd, it's a problem. It's a problem. People hear you talk and want you to stop, you know?
That's true.